A lot of people get up in arms about the way computer language has been appropriated to talk about ordinary human activities. Granted, you hear a lot of this, and some of it's sublimely silly. Let me have your input on this. We've got to get out there and interface with our customers, or the face is familiar, but I can't access the name. But this is an old story. Every new technology has given people a model for talking about themselves. Think of how much of our ordinary psychological language is based on electricity. He's a live wire, I tuned it out, we're on the same wavelength, she's blown a fuse. And in the same way, Freud and his contemporaries borrowed words like repression and ambivalence from hydraulics and chemistry. After all, we are machines, among other things, and a lot of what we do lends itself to a mechanical understanding. But the people who worry that all this sort of talk is somehow dehumanizing might take some comfort in listening to the way programmers talk about the systems they design. I'm not talking about the hardware so much as about the code that inhabits the computer in something like the way a human spirit inhabits its own more fragile housing, the arrangement that a philosopher once described as the beast in the machine. These systems are so complex, and their behavior is sometimes so erratic, that it sometimes seems as if the only way to describe them is in human terms. I hear this talk all the time from the coven of computer scientists I work with, particularly when I ask one of them to help me when my own machine is refusing to cooperate. The system will refuse to log me out, for example, and I'll call over Dr. Lamping from across the hall, and he'll stroke his chin and furrow his eyebrows like a child psychologist contemplating a refractory toddler. And then he'll say something like, "Oh, you've confused the poor thing. It thinks you're still logged on to another machine." Or I'll run into Becky in the hall and she'll say, "You better save your work often. The network is acting flaky today. I think it's stressed." When these folks are talking about a badly designed program, they'll say it's demented, or in the extreme case, brain damaged. In that case, you have to be careful because it may send the machine into a state of complete non-responsiveness that's referred to as catatonia. Of course, humanity has been personifying its artifacts since the earliest cave person lashed a stick to a stone and called the resulting configuration Old Betsy. That's why sailors in less enlightened ages called their vessels she, and why people still say that their cars are temperamental or ornery. But that way of talking implies only that the car or boat has some kind of primitive anima, not that it has a full-blown mind. No matter how my car is acting up, I'm not inclined to think of it as stupid or crazy. That kind of talk I reserve for my friends, my family, and my workstation. Still, there's one common thread in the way we talk about cars and the way we talk about computers. In general, we only anthropomorphize a machine when it's behaving badly. You hear cars described as temperamental, but not as even-tempered. And in general, programmers don't describe systems as clever or sane when they're doing their jobs quickly and efficiently. Why should we attribute a human soul to machines only when they frustrate and exasperate us? Probably because that is the only way that we can have our revenge on them. To paraphrase John Donne, we endow machines with souls so that the devil can do them mischief, and so that we can thus damn them to hell.